Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. We got one more quick segment here with our dear friend, distinguished congressman, your friend and mine, Representative Mark Pocan. He's got just a little bit before he hops on a plane back to Madison area. So thank you again. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
So we talked a little bit about Project 2025 when you were here last. And you know, like I said, on the other side of the break, that in typical Trump fashion, he's got zero connection to it. But now he's appointing authors of that wonderful piece of literature to his cabinet. You know what? And I'm going to get on the soapbox for just a second. I have to say that as a former Republican, not even a former Republican, someone that gives a crap about the United States of America, it is so frustrating. One of my most frustrating things is to see Republican hypocrisy in action. Like here in Wisconsin, like when Robin Voss and the state legislature praised Scott Walker up and down for wielding a strong authority as governor, but then the second Walker lost, they're like, wait, you know, boy, that governorship's got a lot of power. And then they tried to strip the incoming Governor Evers of his power. Donald Trump was critical of executive orders and then in one term outpaced Obama. And one of the things there was, I saw the other day and I posted about it, that Trump was so offended by Barack Obama's 113 rounds of golf and then went on to play like 310 of his own in one term. Like, it's just wild. So I guess with the Project 2025, the next 2 years are, what are we in for in terms of, you know, Project 2025 and realistically what can happen? What can he do?
Yeah. So let me take a 30,000 foot first.
Yeah.
I mean, from looking at Trump's last 4 years, about 90% of what he says are never going to happen. That's the, we're going to take over Greenland.
Panama Canal.
Canada's going to be the 51st state and we're all going to swim in the Gulf of America, right? Like that's just Donald Trump talking. But the art of the job is to figure out what 10% though he's really going to put forward.
Yeah.
Because those things. So I think what we know for sure is he's going to do some stuff around immigration and how extensive those deportations are, I think, is something we got to really watch. He's definitely going to do a tax bill where he and Elon Musk and anyone who could afford to go to Mar-a-Lago are going to benefit greatly. But we got to protect everyone else doing that, because don't forget, when you give a tax break, it's also called the tax expenditure.
Yeah.
That's no different than what we spend on housing or healthcare or education. So you are choosing, instead of things that would help the many, to help the few. And again, the vast, vast, vast majority of the last tax break went to the top 1%. I'm guessing the same will happen again. And then, you know, other things like, you know, early on, Mike Johnson said, and he's been a little quiet about it, and I think it's because they're being stealth, that he wants to bring what Wisconsin was a national, I don't want to say leader because it's a bad idea, but school vouchers.
Yes.
Having public dollars go to private schools.
That's horrible,
and
by the way.
Away from public schools. And that's something I think that we're going to have to watch for. So it's really the art of figuring out what they really are going to try to accomplish. It's a little trickier now that we have a co-presidency with Elon Musk. His financial interests are different,
yes,
right, than Donald Trump's. But
yes,
that's the what I've got to figure out for the next few years.
He talked about eliminating the Department of Education. Can he do that?
They can try by legislation, and don't forget now they have the House and the Senate. Now, the filibuster rules still apply unless the Senate changes the rules, so then they could do more things. I think that's probably a bit more bluff, because don't forget, if they can only give up one or two votes in the House to do anything, you may have people who are rational on some of these issues. And the difference, though, is right now they're threatening to primary people.
Yes, so, right.
You know, as long as he has that, I guess, I don't know if you call it a honeymoon or what period that is, because I don't know if it's based on love, it's more based on fear. But as long as he has that, he could probably get a few things done. But whether or not that's a priority, or again, that's like Greenland, we don't know yet. And that's part of what we got to figure out.
And we're talking with Congressman Mark Pocan here. What Project 2025, what part do you think, like what are we in store for with that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know more about it than just about anybody. Seriously.
Yeah. No, I think there's lots of parts. And like you said, a lot of the folks who are authors are now in the administration. So either you're a billionaire, a Project 2025 author, or someone who Donald Trump saw on TV when he was having some In-N-Out burgers and decided to, you know, you're the one for him. And so a lot of that, we do have to watch where they move forward. I think on the federal workforce, if they try to take, and I think they will try to do this, some of the civil service positions and make them political appointments so that they can force their ideology in areas that hasn't been forced before. That would be of a lot of concern. Yet it's also not something that most people see affecting them directly. That's why I think they may try to do it, but we have to realize that if you start making things like the Small Business Administration and making loans political, we've got a real problem, right? So it does matter who's in the, you want civil servants that no matter who's president, they're doing the job that they're supposed to, not doing it based on someone's politics. So I think that's something I'm really concerned about. I think environmentally, we should be concerned. I think they want to roll back some of the fuel standards. They want to roll back some of the funds we put out there for the Inflation Reduction Act. That could take us backwards, back to relying more on fossil fuels. And again, anything that, that Elon Musk has invested in, I mean, you know, just in that first, in that, that agreement we had with Mike Johnson that blew up at the end of last year, one of the provisions that left was one that would have affected Elon Musk and his work in China. He's, he does a lot of work in China, and you know, he alone benefited from that. So, you know, you just got to think like a grifter and think what they would do, and kind of really focus on those issues.
You talk about vouchers and all of that, and Department of Education, and you know, our dear Tony Weed said, I think it was yesterday, that the funding for schools should stay local. What, I mean, how, talk about that. I mean, that's a horrible idea. Vouchers are terrible. A dear friend of mine is the president of the Green Bay Public Schools school board. And, you know, the, seeing how their budget is just being decimated by these vouchers, what, you know, what can we do about that?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you don't have accountability, right?
Right.
When you have that, because the money is going away from public schools, where you do have accountability and you do elect school boards and you do have a say in how they're run, to private schools where you don't. And, you know, they're not going to take certain kids and they're going to leave those for public schools. And you're going to leave some of the more costly aspects of education with public schools, and they're going to cherry pick for what they want in the private schools. But also, you don't have much of the accountability we really need to. And so far, there have not been a real bank of studies that show people do better in these schools. So it's literally just taking public tax dollars and giving it to private entities, which is not in the public good. And I think that's where we really got to focus. But I think they're going to try to find ways to make what Wisconsin has done in this area go national. A number of states already have this, but a lot don't. And I think we have to make sure there's real standards. Don't forget, when we started that experiment, and I still call it that, in Wisconsin, we had no accountability for money that went to private schools. You had a guy who said he could read a book by putting his hand on it, receiving money for educating people. You had people putting money into Cadillacs for their school rather than into education. And you will see all kinds of things like that happen if we do this at the federal level.
We talk a lot about redistricting, you know, and all that. We did that in Wisconsin. I want to kind of see what is Wisconsin going to look like in a couple of years. We have a really important Supreme Court race. And one of the things that they're making the race about is redistricting the congressional districts. We have, you know, it's a 50-50 clearly with Tammy Baldwin and Donald Trump proving us that. But in our congressional, we have two Dems and six Republicans. That doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't. It's called, that's math even from pre-fourth grade, right?
Right.
We know. And, but they're going to wisely pretend it's an issue in order to try to make candidates say, oh, I will never do anything like that. When in reality, we're gerrymandered at the federal level, just like we were at the state level. And, you know, they've packed, I got 70% in the last election. I would like to think it's because of my legislating. I think it has more to do with demographics. And the same is true in Gwen Moore's district. So they've packed a couple districts and gerrymandered, where, you know, the 3rd Congressional District and the 1st Congressional District are probably two in particular. The 8th is another where, you know, we used to have Democrats and Republicans representing. Also the 7th. I mean, remember Dave Obey used to be from there.
That's right.
But it probably is going to take a court action as long as we have a Republican majority in the legislature. So, you know, I personally hope that they're challenged for all the right reasons, but I could see them trying to, you know, use a little jujitsu on this and make people think something the opposite, make it an issue in the campaign only to make sure they can preserve a congressional majority nationally by keeping Wisconsin gerrymandered.
Yeah, it would be nice to see, you know, and here you're talking about the 8th Congressional District. I got to talk to you about that offline, by the way. And Rebecca Cook was so darn close.
The third, yeah.
You know, oh my goodness. And she was, oh, that she did a hell of a job. But, you know, aside from fighting Trump, what are your plans for the next term? You know, you got one of the most powerful committees in Washington. And how do you get what you want, you know, forward?
Yeah, I mean, so again, I think a lot of it is fighting the bad stuff. And we're ready to do that. And I'm ready to do that. But also putting the ideas forward, that what is the plan for the future? Like, you know, we're right now putting a package of half a dozen bills together that explain what Medicare Advantage is to everyone. And I come back to this issue a lot because, quite honestly, a lot of seniors are getting ripped off. This is twice as profitable as normal health insurance for insurance companies, and yet they'll deny care for seniors who need it. Well, if you're a senior and you need care that you and your doctor have decided, and you have to wait 6 or 9 months because you've been denied by your insurance company, you appeal it. Get this, 85% of the appeals on Medicare Advantage are overturned, which means they're just in order to save some nickels and dimes and costing you your life.
That's
when you are in that 6 or 9 months. If you have cancer, think of what 6 or 9 months could mean and not getting the care you need. So we're going to try to do everything we can to expose programs like that and a lot of other issues. So again, I've got a forward agenda. I've got to fight the bad stuff. And I just got to not go crazy in the process of doing those two.
If there is someone that's listening that is potentially in that situation, what can they do? Is there resources that they can go to look up? Like, because I mean, that's a horrible situation to be in, you know, like you're facing the big bad dog and there's, what do you do?
Yeah. So Social Security Works is one of the groups I know that does a really good job on this. Alex Lawson is the head of that. But, you know, people should just know that only Medicare is Medicare, right? Medicare Advantage, some very, very smart and I'm guessing wealthy lobbyists came up with this idea in order to try to save money on Medicare. They came up with this private insurance alternative and they're allowed to use Medicare in their name. We don't allow that with any other federal entity. You can't be the United States Postal Service and mail and package delivery, right? You can't use that name anywhere else. But they're called Medicare Advantage, which already is confusing.
Right.
And what happens is they'll often offer you something extra that you don't get through Medicare, maybe dental or vision coverage, maybe a gym membership. And if you're in your 60s and you're first doing it and you're healthy, maybe it's okay. But the problem is we find the complaints when people get denied care they need and then have to fight a system and get it late. Or as recently, we had a couple in their 80s were on when they're in their 60s. They just hit their 80s. They now need care. And they can't get it from the Medicare Advantage program, but it's not easy. You can't just go back to Medicare either because they've made that system difficult and people really get caught. So we just want people to know everything up front, get information about Medicare versus Medicare Advantage, what's best for you. In some cases, Medicare Advantage may be the best thing for you, but often it's not going to be. We just don't want people to get ripped off because there was a commercial with William Shatner.
Oh my God. Right? Yeah, you watch daytime television. It's every other commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the sort of thing. So there's issues like that. And that is just one, I guess I'm particularly obsessed on, but you know, also we have this DOGE commission to save money in government.
Well, Tony Weed's in it.
I'll tell you right off the bat. I mean, you look at what we waste on the Pentagon and we spend billions and billions of dollars on amphibious vehicles that only sink. Right. The most recent class of the aircraft carrier, the Ford class, the most recent one.
Yes.
When you flush the toilets, they have a problem, a design problem. If there's a clog, you have to pour $400,000 of acids down the drain, literally flushing money down the drain in order to make them work.
Perfect.
Like, there are real life examples, and they have failed, I think, 7 or maybe 8 audits now. They've never passed an audit, but we require that of everyone else. Let's just, you know, there's a lot to expose. That's why I have a podcast to do that now. I have your program.
Yes,
to come on.
We're
I got other programs, but we're going to do that work.
We're gonna pump the heck out of your podcast. Thank you so very much. We'll see you hopefully soon in the future, and I'm sure glad you're on our side here, Congressman Mark Pocan. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. We'll be right back.